to you as well. 1 John chapter number 1, 1 John chapter number 1, and get used to the book of 1 John. We'll be here on Sunday mornings throughout the year, and I have read the book of 1 John over the last 60 days about 60 times, and not just exclusively for my Bible reading, just in addition to my Bible reading to really get the entirety of this book into my mind, and I trust it'll be a great blessing to you as we study through this book. As you know, each year I choose a theme for our church, an annual church theme, and I seek direction from the Lord and ask to have guidance and wisdom with regard to the particular theme for that year. And each year, since I've been here, I've had a theme, and I've enjoyed the opportunity to kind of keep on track with a theme, keep it before us, and keep a theme song, notes, of not only bookmarks, but sermon notebooks, calendars, just all of it, and just really keep the theme before us. And it helps me. I trust that it helps you as well. In 2012, the first full calendar year that I was here, we looked at a theme. I titled it Standing on His Promises. And of course, we find that there are wonderful promises in the Word of God. Peter described them as exceeding great and precious promises. And we went through a whole host of promises from the Word of God. And we dealt with the fact that there are some promises that are unconditional. And I'm thankful for those promises. And then there's some promises that are conditional. If you do this, then God says He'll do this. And those are great promises as well. And we looked at the conditional, unconditional promises. In 2013, I preached the book of Esther. Our theme was For Such a Time as This, and I greatly enjoyed the book of Esther. In 2014, He Must Increase, and I preached through the book of John. And what a great declaration by John the Baptist. I must decrease, but He must increase. And it's all about Jesus. In 2015, Boldness to Speak Thy Word, and I preached through Acts 1 through 12, the first 12 chapters of the book. And then the following year, in 2016, I preached the remainder of the book of Acts, and I preached a theme, I Believe God. In Acts chapter 27, Paul stood up with great confidence and said, I believe God, and how we need to believe God. In 2017, I had our theme, Increase Our Faith, and how our faith needs to be increased. And the people of God are spoken of in various portions of Scripture. The church in Thessalonica, they were growing and exceeding. Their faith had increased, and how our faith is to be increased. And we dealt with a number of things throughout the year. Faith builders, I referred to them as, and how God will use His Word to increase our faith. In 2018, count your blessings. And well, we have so many things to be thankful for. And our thought throughout the year was that by the end of the year, we'd have, I don't preach every Sunday morning, we have missionaries and revival meetings, but we'd have 45 or so reasons to rejoice. And we started out by looking at it this way: if we learn to count our blessings, if we learn to thank God for who He is, we will never lack reason to rejoice, for He never changes. And we are to thank Him for who He is, and then we're also to thank Him for what He does. And so often in our lives, we get so caught up in thanking God for what He does and fail to thank God for who He is. When we really focus upon who He is, we can go through some real difficulties and trials and know that He remains the same. He's still faithful and holy and just, and He's still all-powerful and all-knowing, and we dealt with all sorts of things. In 2019, be strong in the Lord, the book of Ephesians. And we're to put on the whole armor of God. We are engaged in spiritual warfare. I mentioned it in our Sunday school lesson this morning. So often people want to discuss in our media, in our world today, that we're engaged in cultural wars. And the reality is that it goes far deeper than a cultural war. It is a spiritual war. And the only way to engage in spiritual battle is to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might to put on the whole armor of God. And then in 2020, how interesting this was. It was in October of 2019 that God laid upon my heart for the year of 2020 to have as our theme, Looking Unto Jesus. I preached through the book of Hebrews, had no idea that this thing called coronavirus was going to come and cause all kinds of havoc, and I was so thankful for that theme, because how important it is that we lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help, knowing that our help cometh from the Lord, and looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Last year, complete in Christ, the book of Colossians, and I'm so thankful that I'm complete in Christ. And so many people are trying to find some kind of value in life and somebody's accommodations and recommendations and all these sort of things. But knowing who we are in Christ and knowing that we are complete in Him is just a great joy. And then as we go through the book of 1 John, honestly, there's a couple of different themes that you could look at in the book of 1 John. And as we go through the book, we will address some of those, of course. And we have chosen from verse number 7 in 1 John chapter number 1 and verse number 7. Notice the Bible says this, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Lord willing, and with the help of God, we'll study through this book of 1 John this year. And we will have as our theme, as is mentioned on the banners and all the things that you'll get, walking in the light. The message this morning will be more of a topical message dealing with the theme, and then we will go through the book of 1 John beginning next week. In the first verse of the first chapter, we'll go through it exegetically through the entirety of the book of 1 John. But as we think about this theme of walking in the light, really, it could be synonymous with the thought of walking in obedience. In living a life of obedience, we sing the song, "Trust and Obey." There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And the reality is that throughout the New Testament, there is much instruction that is given to the people of God with regard to our walk. We have often said over the years that our walk matters to God. He cares how we live our lives. Our behavior matters to God. There are some that have taken the truth of 1 John and they have twisted the truth of 1 John. Antinomianism is really an evil teaching that is very prevalent in our day and age in which we're living. And they carry with it this idea that because you're saved, you can just basically live however you want to live. Well, that's foreign to the truth of God's Word. Because God is concerned about how we live our lives. We've often said that belief impacts behavior, but the reality is that behavior reveals belief. How we behave ourselves reveals what we believe, and we understand that the Word of God speaks much to the walk of God's people. In fact, as we look at the book of Ephesians, and I will not have you turn there, but in the book of Ephesians, on 5 different references in the last 2 chapters of the book of Ephesians, Paul mentions specifically to the people of Ephesus truth with regard to their walk. We've mentioned as we studied through the book of Ephesians several years ago, as we had as our theme, I mentioned already in 2019, and we looked at that book and we understood that really the first 3 chapters of the book of Ephesians deal with our position in Christ, who we are in Christ. We've been saved, we've been redeemed through the blood of Christ, and what a blessing that is. But the last part of the book becomes very practical. Deals with our position, but then the practical aspect of our now behavior because of who we are in Christ, here's how that should impact us. Because I've been saved, I am to walk worthy of my calling, Ephesians 4 and verse number 1. Because I have been saved, I am to walk not as other Gentiles, Ephesians 4 and verse number 17. Because I have been saved, I am to walk in love, Ephesians 5 and verse number 2. Because I have been saved, I am to walk as a child of light, Ephesians 5:8. And finally, in Ephesians 5 and verse number 15, because I am a child of God, I am to walk circumspectly. And as we think about those 5 aspects of our walk in the book of Ephesians, we understand that Paul is not saying to the church at Ephesus, walk this way, do these things so that you can be saved or so that you can stay saved. No, he's already settled the matter of salvation in the first 3 chapters of the book of Ephesians, and now he is saying, because you are saved, it should be evidenced by how you live your life, your walk. Our walk matters to God. And as we study the book of 1 John, we will be challenged throughout the entirety of this book to walk in the light as He is in the light. And so this morning, as we look at this really introductory theme type of message, I want you to notice, as we think about this truth of walking in the light, number 1, if you're taking notes, I would say this: walking in the light requires relationship. It requires relationship. It is not possible for you to walk in the light if you've not been saved. If you've not been born again, if you've not trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you cannot walk in the light as He is in the light, as we find here. Notice in verse number, let's just begin in verse number 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. He's writing to believers, but one truth with regard to having our joy being full is that we walk in the light. And that helps us to have that full joy. But he speaks here about redemption and about salvation. He says in verse number 5, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." Notice, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You notice right in the middle of verse number 2, it says that show unto you that eternal life. And I'm thankful, as we mentioned even as we studied a couple of weeks ago, the gift of God. If thou knewest the gift of God, the gift of God is eternal life. And if I'm going to walk in the light, it requires relationship. This message of walking in the light is not a message that is given to a lost person. It is given to someone that has been born again, that is saved, that is being challenged to live that life of obedience, and it's only possible because of the relationship that we have with Christ. We understand this morning that before salvation, we were at enmity with God. In Romans 5 and verse number 8, the Word of God says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." We were dead in our sins and our trespasses, according to Ephesians 2. And we find that because of His great mercy, because of His great love, we heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we were received the gift of God, which is eternal life, believing that God loved me and that Jesus died for me to pay for my sin, understanding that I could never pay for my own sin, that it's only through the blood of Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, and His glorious resurrection, and we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Now, because I've been saved, I can walk in the light. I could not walk in the light before I got saved, and neither could you. And so this year, as we think about this theme, walking in the light, I would say that we must acknowledge that walking in the light requires relationship. We cannot expect a lost person to live like a saved person. And we ought not, by the way. We ought not expect it. Sometimes we get so annoyed and so bothered by various things that are taking place and decisions that are being made and legislation that is being passed, and we scratch our heads and it bothers us. And I understand the reasoning behind being bothered, but we understand this truth this morning, that many of those that are making those decisions and passing the legislation, that they are in darkness. And they need the light of the glorious gospel to shine in unto them. They cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. For the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. And this morning and this year, as we deal with this subject matter of walking in the light, we understand this morning that because we have been born again, because of our relationship, it is possible that we can walk in the light. One of the songs that we sang this morning, the songwriter said, "Trying to walk in the light of the Savior." And the reality is that it's only possible because of the relationship. It's only possible because of the relationship. And what joy comes as a result of walking in the light. See, we were at enmity with God, and our sin prevented fellowship with God and prevented us being able to walk with God, and that's why we needed to be reconciled. And through redemption, through salvation, that act of reconciliation was made, and I'm so thankful that we can walk in the light. Let me say this, not only does walking in the light require relationship, but walking in the light reveals obedience. Walking in the light reveals obedience. I mentioned already at the onset of the message, really in the introduction, that the phrase to walk in the light can be really understood as being a walk of obedience. And when we think about walking in the light, revealing obedience, you note in verse number 5, the Bible says, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you." Notice what it says, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say, notice in verse number 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, but yet we do what? We walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And so we see this revealing, this walking in the light reveals obedience. If you skip down to the second chapter of 1 John and note in verse number 3, the Bible says, "And hereby we do know that we know Him." How? If we keep His commandments. You'll see the word "know" multiple times throughout the book of 1 John. And it says, we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, "I know Him," and keepeth not His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. You say, man, that's kind of harsh. That's God's Word. God has given us in His Word some test, if you will, that we can examine and know if we're in the faith. Amen? Some, what we'll refer to throughout 2022, of birthmarks of a believer. And here we find that He says this in verse number 5, "But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him," notice what it says, "ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked." Is that how we get saved? No. Salvation's already settled. But because I'm saved as a child of God, I can have that now because of that relationship. I can walk in the light. But as I walk in the light, it reveals obedience. I want to walk in the light as He is in the light. I want to obey His word, not so that I can be saved, not so that I can stay saved, but because I am saved, I want to live a life of obedience. We mentioned this morning in our Sunday school lesson, as we looked at that man that was possessed of a demon in Mark chapter number 5, and Matthew 8 deals with it as well. But in Mark chapter number 5, we found that after his transformation, that he had a desire to be with Jesus. When the townspeople came, the folks from the city heard what had happened. They sought Jesus, and they found that man that was possessed of the devil sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. And then when Jesus honored the request of the people of the city to depart from their coast, we find that the Bible says that that man desired to be with Jesus. Why? Because of all that God did for him. And in our lives this morning, as we think about this theme throughout the year, walking in the light, it first requires relationship, but then we find that as we're walking in the light, it reveals obedience, that heart of obedience. We understand that we're never going to reach a place of sinless perfection this side of heaven. There are some that have sought to teach that thought and have spun that idea that we could reach some level of sinless perfection. But in the very next verse, the Bible says in 1 John 1 and verse number 9, in two verses later, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we've not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. If any man sin, according to verse number 1 of chapter 2, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And how thankful I am that we have an advocate. And it's not the idea of walking in the light is not the idea of reaching some level of sinless perfection. Rather, walking in the light is simply walking in obedience to God and saying, with my heart, I want to obey Him. I want to take His word. I don't want to argue with God. I don't want to disagree with God. I'm going to make a decision in my life that I'm going to agree with God, and what God says by His grace and with His help, I'm going to do. Live a life of obedience. Are there times in which we disobey? Sure. And that's when we confess and get it right And then once again, start walking in the light as He is in the light. It's a walk of obedience, and really walking in the light reveals obedience. Let me say this, number three, when we think about this theme of walking in the light, I would say walking in the light reveals progress. It reveals progress. You think about walking. Walking is not stationary. Walking is moving. And we think about walking in the light, and you think about making progress. And obviously, last week on Sunday morning, I preached a message from Exodus with regard to the really the thought of go forward. And how the people of God, as they had left from Egypt, and they were there right before the Red Sea, and they were noticing, they understood that the Egyptians were seeking from behind them, and they're in this position. And God says to Moses, speak to the people and tell them, go forward. And walking in the light reveals progress. It's moving forward. It's not stationary. We're not holding on until Jesus comes. We're not running for the hills. We're not living in fear and all of this sort of thing. No, we're to be on the offense. We're to be making progress as people of God. When the Bible says of the church, when Jesus gives this truth to Peter in Matthew chapter number 16, He says that I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's not that we're sitting back in some kind of defensive position and trying to defend ourselves against the attack of Satan. It's that the church, onward Christian soldiers, you know the song, right? Onward and forward, and we're moving forward, and as we're moving forward, for the Lord and with the gospel, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. That's His own promise. And we ought to rejoice in that. Listen, when the Great Commission was given, it was to go and preach the gospel to every creature. In Acts chapter number 1, in Jerusalem, but Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost. And we understand that we are to be going and we're to be making progress. It's interesting to me that He says, walk in the light. Sometimes you find some that have great zeal, and we'll speak of zeal even within this book and understand some truth within the Word of God of being zealous, and certainly there's reference to that throughout the Word of God. But there are some that want to run, and they want to run, and then they kind of just fizzle out. You think about the consistency of the progress that is made in walking. Walking in the light as He is in the light. And it's making progress. And we measure that progress. We want to see that progress. We want to see some development. And we think about our own lives as we as individuals are walking in the light as He is in the light. And we see that progress in our Christian life. There is great joy to me as a pastor, as a spiritual leader, when someone shares with me about reading their Bibles, when somebody shares with me, as happened in 2021, for the first time in my life, I read the entire Bible cover to cover. Man, that makes me rejoice, because this Word is powerful. And we need to get it into our lives. And we find that people, when they say, man, I got to share the gospel with someone. I got to see somebody. I got to lead somebody to Christ. And it's the first person I ever led to Christ. And you begin to see that progress. Why? Because we're walking in the light as He is in the light. And we're making progress, and we're growing through obedience. And we find that progress. Listen, the Christian life is a life of growth. It's a life of growth. It's a life of progress. He told us to occupy till He come. And we find that He told us to redeem the time. Those are words that are given that would describe that we're to be busy about the work that God has given us. And we're to be making progress. Walking, it reveals to me growth. It reveals to me maturing. When we think about this progress and we think about that spiritual maturity that is being revealed in this truth of walking in the light. I hope this morning that you would say, I want to grow in my walk with God. I'm not content with where I am in my walk with God. I want to know Him. Think about the Apostle Paul. For many of us, the Apostle Paul, in our minds, if someone were to ask us who's the greatest Christian, no doubt Paul would end up on your list. He may not be the first one on everyone's list, but he would no doubt be on your list. And many times we hold Paul in high regard and because of how he was surrendered to God and how God used him. And we understand that God used him because he was surrendered to God. Paul says of himself that he was the chief of sinners. He says in 2 Corinthians 12 that he does not want others to think more highly of him than they should. Paul was a man of humility. We hold him in high regard and we look at Paul as being a great Christian, and certainly he was. But in the book of Philippians, in the third chapter, he says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. You understand this morning that that was not written in the first month or the first year of Paul's salvation, of his walk with God. That's written near the end of Paul's life. And Paul's saying, I want to know him. You think about the psalmist. I've preached before from this thought of understanding the greatness of who God is and declaring his greatness. The psalmist says, I know that the Lord is great. And what great declarative truth that is. But then 10 psalms later, the Bible says that the greatness of God is unsearchable. Is it contradictory? No. I know God is great. I've known that for years, but each year I find out that he's greater than I thought he was. Right? No matter how great you think God is today, as you walk in the light, as you grow, as you make progress, as you mature spiritually, you're going to find out he's greater than I thought he was. I mean, I dealt with this problem and I had this situation and I just didn't know how. And God showed his greatness that I may know him. See, we can't be content. We can't get stagnant. We can't flounder around. We must walk in the light. We must be walking in obedience and making that progress. We sing the song, as I mentioned, we had as a theme, Standing on the Promises. And sometimes you'll hear someone say, it's not sitting on the premises. Amen? We're not to just be sitting around idle. Get busy. Get working. Walk with God and serve God. This evening, I'm going to preach a message I've titled Living Your Faith. You see it on the back of the bulletin, Living Your Faith. I'm going to challenge you this evening. I'm going to actually pass out some cards this evening, not that you would return them to me, but that you would keep them in your own Bible. And I want you to make some commitments to God of how you're going to grow this year and how you're going to develop this year and how with God's help. Why? Because as it says on the card that I'll hand out this evening, if I fail to plan, I plan to fail. If I aim for nothing, I hit it every time. Right? And so I'm going to set some goals. At this time of the year, we find there are many that have these resolutions and New Year's resolutions, and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And the month of January historically has been the highest month for new gym memberships on record. In fact, I got an email this morning from Planet Fitness. You can rejoin for $0. They know how it works. Everyone gets done after the holidays and Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, and the clothes don't fit like they did in October, and you say, man, I'm going to go back to the gym. And they know it, and they market right to it, and they take your money, and you don't go, and they just enjoy it. Right? And if you go to the gym, if you're one of those gym people and you go to the gym all of the time, you notice that in August and September and October, man, the machines are available and I can just go in and exercise and do what I have to do. And in January, there's all these new faces and no machines are available and they don't know what they're doing and everything's occupied. Just wait until March and it will just kind of die back down. Right? But in the Christian life, this year, as we have this theme, walking in the light, I want it to be before us every single week. Why? Because we're to be making progress. Today, am I closer to God than I was last week? Am I closer to Him today than I was a year ago? I hope we can say yes. If there was some time in your life that you were closer to God than what you are today, that could simply be defined in a single word of being backslidden. We need to be close to God. And walking in the light It requires relationship. I can't walk in the light if I'm not saved. It reveals obedience because it's walking in obedience. It reveals progress. And let me say this finally this morning, number four. Walking in the light results in fellowship. It results in fellowship. Notice back in verse number 3, it says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us." Notice the rest of the verse, "And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." It's absolutely amazing that the God of the universe would desire to have fellowship with us. Isn't it? Absolutely amazing that the God of the universe would desire to have fellowship with us. But He does. Draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh unto you. It is good for me, the psalmist says, to draw nigh unto the Lord. He desires to have fellowship with us. We know in verse number 5, it says, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. For if we walk in the light as He is in the light..." And so we find that really, and we think about walking in the light results in fellowship, I would say first, and by looking at verse number 3, no doubt that our fellowship is with the Lord. And how sweet that is. The psalmist said, "In Thy presence is fullness of joy." In Psalm 16 and verse number 11. "In Thy presence is fullness of joy." Notice what he says in verse number 4, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." I said this on Friday evening during our watch night service, if you will, that some of the most joyful, glad, happy people on the face of the planet should be God's people. Amen? Jesus gave us joy, unspeakable. Amen? And full of glory. And we understand, remember the disciples, they came back, and Luke records that they came back rejoicing because the spirits were made subject unto them. And Jesus said, "In this rejoice not, rather rejoice," why? "That your names are written in heaven." Do you know the Bible says, "No man taketh your joy"? David prayed, "Lord, restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation." Why was his joy stolen? Because of his sin. Sin will rob you of your joy. But in His presence, as I'm walking in the light, it results in fellowship. First, fellowship with Him, and how sweet it is, and how joyful, and how we ought to be glad when we meditate upon who He is. That's what we looked at on Friday evening, Psalm 103. And just our meditation of Him is sweet, and we are glad. And what joy that is. Listen, we ought to be joyful people. As a preacher, I think it's Palmer Shawn said this before, that far too often he goes into churches and he meets Christians that look like they've been sucking on lemon juice through a fire hose. It's a great analogy. I mean, it just, a picture comes in your mind immediately when you hear that phrase. And I'm like, man, that's pretty good. I like that. We ought not be that way. We ought not be the Eeyore, "Oh, bother," right? Everything's just so bad. How are you? Well, under the circumstances. You ever hear somebody say that? When did you ever read in your Bible you're supposed to live under the circumstances? Amen? He's in control of the circumstances, is He not? He's allowed it. He's the sovereign God of the universe. And He has a purpose in it. He has a plan for it. And we understand that. We can rejoice. You think about the truth of 1 Peter. If need be, you're in these manifold temptations, the trial of your faith. But what are you to do? Rejoice. Rejoice. It results in fellowship. But really specifically mentioned in our text, of verse number 7, is not fellowship with God. It's really interesting. Look back at verse number 7 with me. "Yes, indeed, as we walk in the light, we have fellowship with God." But in verse number 7, I want you to notice what is said. "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. What is specifically mentioned with regard to walking in the light as in this verse with regard to fellowship is the fellowship one with another. I believe that this is quite insightful. As each believer, as each individual believer walks in the light as he is in the light, yes, we have fellowship with God, but then we have fellowship one with another. So if you're walking in the light, and 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 I'm walking in the light, we're all walking in the light, then guess what? Yes, we have fellowship with God, but then we have fellowship one with another. And by the way, in the Christian life, we're to have fellowship one with another. We need fellowship one with another. The reality is that there is to be no division within the body. There's to be no schism. There's to be no problems as we look at in the book of 1 Corinthians, and you look at all of the division and the infighting and the schisms and all that's taking place in the church in Corinth. That's not to be. We're to strive for unity. And as we understand the passage of Scripture that is before us with the theme for this year in verse number 7, yes, we understand the fellowship that we have with God and how blessed that is and how grateful we are for it. But the reality is that he specifically mentions that we have fellowship one with another. The unity that we have. Can I say this? When a church lacks unity, when believers, when Christians are at odds one with another, when they're divided, one or both are not walking in the light as he is in the light. Because as we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. We strive for that unity. I've often said this over the years. Listen, there's an idea, a thought that's very prevalent in our society today with regard to unity, that we just set aside those things that divide us and embrace those few things that would help us to have unity. But that's not unity. You're never going to have unity by doing that. Why? Because those things that divide you are still there. The only way to have unity is when each of us as individuals agree to agree with God. And that's the only way to have unity. Because you have a different background than I do. You have a different perspective than I do. You have a different, you just keep listing it out of all the differences between us as individuals. But if we want to have unity and want to have fellowship one with another, we have to say, what does God say? And you and each one of you and me and each believer, we say, I'm going to agree with God. And as I agree with God and I make His Word the authority, by the way, as Baptist people, we often say, as we look at the Baptist distinctives, that God's Word is the sole authority for faith and practice. What does that mean? It's the only one. Right? It's not my opinion. It's not your opinion. It's not what the church father said. It's what God says. And so if I say I'm going to agree with God, and if Ron says he's going to agree with God, and if you go right through the list, I'm not going to name everybody, says I'm going to agree with God, then guess what? We're going to agree with each other. Right? Because God's Word is the standard, and it is the authority. And so as I'm walking in the light, to walk in the light, remember it reveals obedience, yes, the progress, but as I'm walking in the light, and I'm having that fellowship with God, it also means that I have fellowship one with another. You ever think about going on a walk with someone? Maybe you're going on a walk with your spouse. And you're making progress. You're taking a walk and physically speaking, and you have communion one with another. You have fellowship one with another. As we walk with God, we have fellowship with God, but as collectively, so as individuals we have fellowship with God, but then collectively or corporately when we're all walking in the light, we then have fellowship not only with God, but then one with another. And it's sweet. And what joy to have that fellowship one with another. As we have the opportunity to iron sharpeneth iron, to encourage one another, to edify one another. You know, the New Testament is full of one another commandments. And those one another commandments are very impossible when you're not with one another. Right? Very, very challenging and very difficult when you're not with one another. And so as we're walking in the light, as He is in the light, and yes, we have that fellowship with Him, I think about the result being fellowship one with another, the unity. And so this year, in 2022, we'll study through the book of 1 John. I believe that, man, we'll be encouraged through the truth of 1 John. God wants us to know some things. He wants us to be settled on some things. He doesn't want us to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. He wants us to be settled, to know. And the word is used over and over and over. He wants us to know. You know what He wants us to know the most? He wants us to know that we belong to Him. 1 John 5:13 is probably one of the most commonly memorized verses of all of 1 John. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And I think about that, having that knowledge of knowing that you have eternal life. He wants us to know that we belong to Him. And as we study through the book of 1 John, He wants us to know some things. There's a lot of things He wants us to know. He wants us to walk in the light. He wants us to have fellowship one with another. Listen, the church is God's plan and God's idea. The church is not the idea of Constantine or some other person. The church is the idea of God. God ordained the church. And God says, as individual believers make up this body of believers, He says, as individuals, you walk in the light. And as you walk in the light, you'll have fellowship one with another. It's a great byproduct. It's a great result of walking in the light. Fellowship, first with God, next, and specifically mentioned in the text, with one another. This year, let's make a commitment. I'm going to walk in the light. Walking in the light. Father, we love You. We thank You for loving us. We thank You for the Word of God and for the truth that's contained therein. God, I pray that as we enter into a new year, we have set before us this new theme, walking in the light. We understand that it requires relationship. It's impossible for a lost person to walk in the light as He is in the light. God, if there's one here or one under the sound of My voice, maybe tuned in via live stream, that's not sure of heaven, they've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. They would get it settled once and for all so that they can begin walking in the light. For each one that's been born again, we know You as our personal Lord and Savior. I pray, God, that You'd help us to walk in the light, knowing that it reveals obedience and it reveals progress. God, help us to really have a longing for You, a desire to know You. God, we would not be content with where we are in our walk with You. We want to know You in a greater way. Help us to walk in obedience. Help us to have spiritual maturity in our lives. Help us to enjoy fellowship. Yes, with You, but also with one another. I pray that You'd work in our hearts and lives even through this introductory kind of a message. Help us to resolve, even as Matt prayed this morning for the offering, that we'd resolve to draw closer to You, to know You. Help us, God, to walk in the light. Well, thank You for each decision that is made, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Would you stand with me? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.